Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Indie Film Review. This is not Jared, this is Dan.
What?
We switched up on you, just like last week. Get used to it. I'm in charge now. I'm just kidding.
That's right, the boys are back, and they're basically just Dan, and he's going to do the intro.
Guess who just got back today? It's been a while since they've
been boys?
Away. Yeah. Hadn't changed. They had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are great. So this is an independent film podcast where we watch an independent film, sometimes submitted by listeners, sometimes just because we wanted to.
Yeah, no shit.
Thank you. And we review it. And what makes us special is, well, can you fucking hear it? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Maybe. Are you not already engrossed in the narrative? Yeah. So what makes us different, I feel, is we curse sometimes. I don't think many podcasts do that.
I don't think so either. What really sets us apart is we watch movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and we're
two white guys watching movies, which is unheard of in the podcasting space.
I don't mean to shit on other podcasts, but I have a little rant that I've been on. I'm not going to mention any podcast names.
Oh, damn. Where did that soapbox come from? This is weird. All right.
I'm not going to mention any podcast names, but I'm going to mention that I've been on Twitter and like they're talking about, it's like, what? This is our favorite movie. What was your favorite movie?
Uh-huh.
And their favorite movies are so fucking generic, and it makes me feel like we're the only unique people who are doing a podcast.
That's right.
It's like everybody
That's right.
wants we're... to talk about fucking Avengers. Well, fuck you,
Dan. We're the special. Ugh,
the special,
Dan, not special.
That sounds like a German dish.
God damn it! Now we might have to keep it in, Dan. We're the special snowflakes of our generation.
We are,
and no one can tell us different.
God okay? damn it! Long live the new flesh.
Oh shit,
if you get that joke, you're awesome.
Born in the USA is the film we watched.
Born,
can you believe it,
in the USA. Born in the USA.
Yeah, get it out, get it all out. Oh man,
we make the jokes so you don't have to.
Should have been more prepared. I usually have the IMDb page up.
I had it up, but then I decided, hey, I'm going to look up other things.
Like pornography during recording. Wow.
I'm not saying it's not pornography.
Really smooth. Mike Fanazzo is the writer and director of this.
Mike?
I'm not sure. Who recommended this to us? Was it the director? I forget who requested
that
this.
Up too.
Yeah. Figure it out, Dan. I'm just so tired and lazy.
I
can't be bothered.
You just talk.
So, this movie is definitely low budget. I don't know if IMDb says the budget, but what's fun about this film is, from what I can tell, please correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm.
this looks like one of the first feature-length movies that the director has done and that any of the actors have been in. Like, some of the actors, I think, have been in, like, other roles, but this might be their first or second role for a lot of them, which is kind of special. Like, this is just like a first time movie for like everybody involved.
That is pretty cool. I'm looking and
it seems
to be, well, it says in the description, yeah, Kelly Lloyd was part of the Baltimore improv group.
Baltimore?
Yeah, because it's filmed in Baltimore. Did I say something
wrong? Is
it
Baltimore?
Wow.
Baltimore is the evil villain from...
Hold on.
The dreamscape that I try to
Baltimore?
Run away from at night.
Baltimore? Baltimore? Baltimore?
I am Baltimore. Bringer of darkness. Keeper of the seventh seal.
Anyway, Kelly Lloyd, the lead actress, is from the Baltimore improv group.
Thank you.
And Chris Miner apparently is from Comedy Central? Question mark? That's what it says there. Mm. But... Google.
They need to really crack down on the underage working laws with Chris Miner over at Comedy Central. Man. I mean,
that's
a stretch.
That's a joke. Or maybe they need to stop making him work down in the coal mines. You know what I mean?
That's right. Killing all those damn canaries.
Goddamn canaries.
Where's PETA when you need him?
You know,
that's what we should do. We should go ahead.
I mean.
We're on fire tonight.
There's this, okay.
We're killing it.
There's this theoretical thing. Okay, actually, Mike Finazzo suggested we should do this movie. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, nice.
We
Thank
appreciate
you,
it.
I appreciate you.
Before we get into your movie, I'm going to talk about cyborgs.
Are you somehow... There's like another soapbox on your soapbox. This is really crazy.
Anyway, there's this essay I read in film school once, and it's about... it's called The Cyborg Manifesto.
Okay.
And the lady who authored it, she like breaks down these three areas in which cyborgs are becoming more and more a thing, essentially. And one of the areas that breaks down is we have blurred the line between human and animal, and we have given animals rights. So fuck those canaries, all right?
That's what you were going with? I was like, what are we talking about? What is going on?
I have a joke that lasts about 6 minutes long if you want me to tell it. And by the end, you're like, what the fuck does that even mean?
And it's I'm a tight like, six, and it's only one joke. And it's mainly you screaming at canaries. The punchline is just you being really mad at small birds.
I used to have a parakeet. It died.
Yeah.
Then I had two cockatiels, and they fucking flew away from me. So I just have this thing about birds. Okay.
Here's my thing about birds, because I feel like everyone has a thing about birds, and that's my new sitcom on CBS. It's called Thing About Birds. Please tune in. 4 p.m. slot. Weekends. Thank you. New episodes every Tuesday. I like birds a lot.
I do too.
I like to see them in the wild. I love small birds.
But you shouldn't own them?
Yes, I don't ever want to own a bird.
Michelle feels the same way.
Like, I love owls. I love all those things. Like, I like bird spotting, you know, when I go on hiking trips or whatever. But, yeah, I never want to own a bird. I don't know why. I guess it's just...
Because they
I just
die.
I feel like I should have
them. And they fly away.
In a
and
cage.
They break your heart.
Yeah, and they're kind of annoying. They're loud. They yell at you.
They are very loud.
So I like to see them in nature. Anywho, so that was Born in the USA. What a great movie.
Wait, did you say Bird in the USA?
Oh, that was Bird in the USA. What a great movie.
We do talk... I'm sorry, Mike. Let's get into your movie now.
Not enough birds in this movie. That's my main criticism of Bird in the USA. Not enough birds. So we're actually going to talk about the film now.
Perfect.
First impressions. I like this movie. It's good.
I did too.
I feel like that's my catchphrase of, I like this movie.
Well, okay, so let's stop being generic, start saying things instead of like.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I enjoyed the journey that I took with these characters' emotions, basically.
Uh-huh.
Because...
Oh, you need to say what the movie's about. I apologize.
So there's this woman named Kelly, and she's in a dead-end marriage, and she gets fucked and doesn't really...
Oh.
She doesn't really like to get fucked, but he finishes anyway.
Okay, you're getting a little too much detail, but all right. That'll make more sense later.
Yeah. No, anyway. So she's in a dead-end marriage, and she like kind of has this flirtatious tryst with this English boy who's over in the United States. And it turns out that he's leaving to England soon, and she happens upon him in a coffee shop, and they start flirting again, and he has, like, 24 hours till he leaves. And the whole movie is them kind of flirting with each other until he leaves.
Yeah, it's about two different people at a point in their lives. One is entering a relationship, almost like the big step where you're going to get married. He's going to move away. He has a new job. He's... marrying this woman, and I think even the woman's parents are going to finance a house for them to live in, which is like so many commitments he's going to make. And then we have the female lead who is in a marriage that she's been in for a long time. She's been really in a rut because she doesn't feel appreciated, and she kind of doesn't even really know why she married this guy because he was just like the first dude
now that Jared... she met. I appreciate all the detail that you're giving to my pitch that I left out. However, I don't know what fucking elevators that you get on. But
mine stopped
pretty damn quick.
Okay, we're out of the elevator. Now we're in the hallway, and I'm still following you, and I'm still telling you my elevator pitch, okay? I just feel like it's necessary because, like, that's the whole core of this.
It is.
So it's a romantic comedy, right?
Yeah.
That's what this movie is.
Yeah.
And it's revolving around them, like you're saying, going on this long 24-hour date. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because they don't even really know that they're on the date at first.
And they don't
kind
really
of just, like,
know...
awkwardly...
Another thing that I really like about it is they don't know that they're on the date, but they also don't really know where it's going.
Yes.
Like, the only thing they know is his flight is a red eye at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, they're with each other and just shit happens and they go everywhere and things like that.
And what makes this really good, what ties it all together for me is the previous encounter that they've had with each other at a party.
Yeah, which was...
like, years ago.
Which was, I will argue, seamlessly edited in. I think it was very tasteful where they put it in the movie.
Yeah, really, that was well done. So I liked the way this movie was shot. I liked a lot of the acting in it. I thought it was good. The only spots where I kind of was like, was, like, some of the stuff at the beginning with the sex scene you mentioned earlier. But it actually started to make me laugh. Because it went on for so long.
It went on for so long, and she was like...
Some of the things that had happened,
okay,
and was
so
like, okay,
are we,
I get
are we
this
out of first impressions?
Yeah, we can get into the film. So now, I like this movie a lot, actually.
Okay.
I think people should watch it.
Yeah, we should definitely promote it for sure. Mike Venazza, you did a great job. Everybody did a great job. Kelly, Chris, you guys are just perfect.
I mean, I'll probably nitpick some things, because that's just what I do. But I think for the most part,
this is the first time that I actually enjoyed a sex scene in a movie. So it opens up with this bored sex scene where, like,
yeah.
They can't do it on the bed because the bed's dirty or something, or they're doing the sheets. And they can't do it on the couch because the couch is too small. So he has her propped up against the bathroom sink.
Mm-hmm.
Or countertop, and she's looking at everything, and she's like, "It's like you brush your teeth, and you left the toothpaste in the sink. That's gonna dry and get crispy and whatever.
Crispy, baby.
I forgot what exactly she said, but like it was. This scene was so relatable to me. I don't want to divulge too much, but I've been in that situation where like. Mm-hmm. Both of our minds were wandering, and we were trying to do it, and she'll say something. Ridiculous. I'm like, are we fucking having this conversation right now? So that was pretty fun and relatable. I liked it.
Yeah, talking during sex is very weird. We have to focus on the task at hand. But yeah, I like this scene a lot.
Or in hand, if you know what I mean.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dolly. It explains so much about the character in a very succinct way, and I enjoyed it a lot about like how just matter of fact and blasé the husband and the wife are to each other. They're like they almost don't even care about what they're doing.
Well, and
at
then
all.
Another thing that I really like about movies like this, because there's this movie, it's not an old hat yet, but like I've seen a lot of movies that are like this. It's just one thing that this film did especially well was made that kind of taboo nature come out. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I shouldn't really be doing this because I have a husband. And it's like, especially with the guy, because he has a brand new fiance and she makes an appearance later in the film. And you can feel like the excitement of this relationship. And it's pretty cool.
Well, that's the best part is that these two people are essentially people who would be villains in other movies.
Yeah.
They're the cheaters. They're the ones cheating to try to be together, and they know it's wrong, and they know what they're doing is weird and awkward, and they shouldn't be doing it. That's why they're kind of dancing around it the whole time. And they both had such a strong connection in the Wayback Machine past scene where they met each other years ago. They only met each other one time.
And
the dude then was like, hey, why don't we go to a movie together?
Yeah.
And, like, asks her out, and he knows that she has a wife.
She has a wife?
Or,
what?
She has a husband. Ah, it's a different movie. I love that aspect of this movie. And how it's like, usually in a relationship, like, if a relationship is dead, what does a person naturally do? They're not just going to be like, okay, I don't think we should be together anymore. Let's figure this out. We're going to separate and blah, blah, blah. Usually they find somebody else. That's what happens.
Yeah.
So it's more realistic. I felt like the female lead in this had more of a reason to want to mm-hmm. end her marriage and be with this man than the guys. They almost didn't focus on him enough. He had one big scene where he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. He just kind of does whatever comes, like whatever happens, he just seizes the day or whatever. And he says he's like looking for a sign that what he's doing is right, and he hasn't found it yet.
She's pretty attractive. I mean, that's motive enough.
Well, then, so what's interesting too is like, there's this movie. I don't know if I should spoil it. Okay, so we're gonna spoil it big yes. time now. If you want to see this movie, go watch it. I think
watch
you should.
It. You should.
It's a good romantic movie. Go watch it with your significant
other. There it is. Like, I'm saying that rom-coms are not my cup of tea. Like, I don't really like watching them, but I did enjoy this movie.
I don't go out of my way to find them, but I will watch them, and when they're good, they're good. Like, this movie and...
Old Boy?
Yeah, Old Boy. Old Boy's a great romantic comedy. It's got Kumail Nanjiani in it. God damn it. I got to look it up now.
The Big Sick?
Yeah, The Big Sick. The Big Sick is like my favorite romantic comedy of like all time. I fucking love
it. I liked, surprisingly, P.S. I Love You.
Oh.
That was a pretty good movie.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
It's sad as fuck. That's probably why I liked it.
Yeah, I like sad shit too. So this movie does... It has an ambiguously maybe happy ending, right? Mm-hmm. I wish they would have ended the film right at the moment where she drives him to the train station and it does like that fake out where it's like her running up
mm-hmm.
and like embracing him. But then, that was all in her head, you know? Oh, no. And then she just gets in her car and drives away.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a really good spot to end the movie, or end it like right as he's thinking about calling her. Like, yeah. He hasn't done it yet. And he's like, oh, should I call her? And then just fucking cut to black. Because then you're like, you don't know what happens. That's just life. I thought that would have been really good. I thought where the movie ended was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Question for you. Dan, how many rings do you wait until you hang up the phone when you're calling someone?
I have a counter question. I have a counter question. How many times does a phone ring?
How many times does a phone ring?
One.
Let's find out with my little ding-a-ling.
Three.
Boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Gee, mister. Mr. Owl. Yeah. That, I don't know what it was. They were trying to make it dramatic, but that phone rings way too fucking long. It's driving me crazy. I'm like, pick up the phone! that'll make sense if you watch the movie. So let's talk about different aspects of the movie. For instance, I like the music a lot in this movie. The music was very good. I did feel like there's like some French, because you know they're trying to get the romance type of deal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of building on the atmosphere, and I felt like it was very well executed in the beginning, but then they tried to use it again when they're at the coffee shop, and then like the characters had to like talk over a man singing,
mm-hmm.
and that was a little distracting to me. I kind of wish they use a different spot of music there, because all the instrumentals they're really good, and I like that French song with the man singing, but it's just, you can't have vocals over people talking. It's distracting. It was weird to me.
Right.
Did that, anything like that bother you, or am I just being nitpicky asshole?
What bothered me, I think, is my own fault. I don't think it's any fault of the directors or anybody mm-hmm. else, but they bond over His Girl Friday, like an mm-hmm. old movie.
Yes.
And,
yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say, but keep going.
Well, do you? Because I was just trying to make too many connections. I'm like, why this movie? And she like kind of, she attributes today's standards whenever they're analyzing, they analyze His Girl Friday kind of whenever they're talking after the movie. And she attributes today's standards to a, you know, 1940 value
mm-hmm.
where women, you know, don't really have the say. So like, she is a strong female lead, but it's still the patriarchy. Right. And she's like, I wish she was not part of the patriarchy, but that doesn't make any sense because that doesn't make any fucking sense. I don't know. It just them analyzing the movie made me think too much about analyzing this movie.
Oh, I thought it was, I mean, yeah, it's trying to draw a correlation between the decisions that the women had to make in mm-hmm. those old black and white films and the decision that they're both trying to make and she's trying to make, right?
Well, that, between, but like, who His should Girl she Friday pick? Is, I guess, I mean, because His Girl Friday is about the two of them are ex-lovers or ex-wife.
Okay, yeah.
Well,
you don't know that in the context of the movie unless you've seen the film.
Well, right? I've seen the film, and it confused me.
And then they were also trying to bring home the point of, things were simpler, you know, in black and white. Mm-hmm. That was it seemed like, oh, it was so easy for the female lead to figure out what she had to do because the solution was already right in front of her. It was just like, everything was black and white. There's no gray area. But that's not how relationships are. And where these people are in their lives, they're in that gray area. And I was like, mm-hmm. I get it, movie. Also, this movie's in black and white.
I was going to say that. Have we mentioned that? That
it's I am a sucker for black and white. So, I mean, just put your movie in black and white and I'm already down. I liked the scene where they're meditating together at his house. That was so weird. Awesome. He brings her back to his house and he doesn't have any beer or anything. So he just offers her tap water and styrofoam glass or cups or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I meditate. He's like, you want to try it? And then they're sitting there together and he's like, yeah, just think of something that makes you happy. And then she opens her eyes and looks at him and then closes her mm-hmm. eyes. I was like, oh, that's so fucking cute. And then when she takes him to, the graffiti alley, which is a real place. Yeah. I looked it up. It looks really fucking cool in color. And, what are they in Baltimore? Yeah. I believe
Baltimore.
If I'm ever there, I'm definitely going to go and check it out. Cause I guess it always changes and stuff, but yeah, I thought that was really cool. I like the little dates, you know, they went to go eat crab mm-hmm. and,
that made me upset. Nice. Not because just because I wanted to eat fucking crab. Like I've been wanting crab for a while and then just watching them eat that much crab that just smothered in Old Bay. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I love snow crab.
Oh, God damn it, Mike Finazzo. Thank you for making me hungry.
Yeah, baby. This movie just felt very personal and it was like everyone involved are all friends and they're all kind of just working together to make this film. And I thought it was really neat. I don't know. There's
now,
something special about it.
How
in that
did
way.
You feel about, I, okay, this is where like the movie was solid
mm-hmm.
until I couldn't understand the bar scene. So,
well, that's where I said like the movie should have ended before we even got to the bar scene.
Okay.
It's weird. We have like this final thing with the bar scene and this character we barely know. And I'm just kind of like, what is going on here?
Well, wait, let's break down the bar scene because I feel like it's the one scene that I'm like, okay, what's happening here? Like I get everything else, but this bar scene is an enigma.
We need an editor to edit this scene out of the movie. That's how I feel.
So she walks into the bar. Mm-hmm. And it cuts to her with a drink. And then there's a guy across the bar from the party that they went to. There was a surprise party for Chris, going away party. And he recognizes her from the party. And she's like, oh, you were the girl in the corner. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah. And he alludes to the fact that he lives upstairs.
Yep.
Which I'm assuming means he owns the bar. Because there was no bartender.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Okay, yeah.
But he was sitting outside of the bar. He was not behind the bar. I don't know who served her a drink.
Oh,
again,
you're right. Yeah.
No bartender.
There's no bartender.
And then he's like, okay, I'm going to go home now. And he goes upstairs and leaves her in the bar.
To play Nintendo. Also, when he leaves, because he makes these weird references to Fast and the Furious to like equate her situation.
That was fucking ridiculous.
That was kind of funny. But the best part is that he just yells, Vin Diesel. When he walks out of the door, and I feel like I want to do that every time I walk out of the door now. Like, whenever I'm done talking to someone and I'm leaving, I'll be like, Vin Diesel! Yes. Mwah. Perfecto. Grazie. Okay, go ahead. So, there were good things in the scene. I just don't think it was needed, and it hurt the pacing of the film for me. That's not to say there weren't funny and interesting things in it. I just you gotta tighten it up. Get a little tight.
Tighten that shit up.
Yeah.
But no, I think I really like that edit. Like, if you were to cut it right as he's debating whether he should call or not, that would have been a really good ending.
Because that's the rising action. Like, that's the big thing. And it's either after that climax, you either just stop it right there or have some falling action. But I think the indecisiveness of not knowing what's going to happen, that's like the whole point of the film. That's the gray area. Mm-hmm. That's what they're talking about. So I don't know. What do I know?
What do you know?
I'm just some asshole who watched the movie. So final thoughts, Dan.
What got me through this movie, because like, let's think about it. It's a rom-com character study. Like, it's not like a rom-com in the traditional sense of, oh, it's a comedy, so it's going to make me laugh. And there's like, you know, punchlines and shit to look forward to. What really drives you through this movie is the realism of the acting, I think. Like, they were cute. There was a good chemistry between them and it worked. So I think that is what champions this movie outside of everything else.
Yeah, a lot of the acting is really good. I knew that I was going to be in for something special when the main male character and his friend were both in the car and they were smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're back and forth together. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could just watch this. Like, this is fucking awesome. So I was like, okay, this movie's going to be something good. And yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought this movie's good. Like I said, just tighten up some of the stuff at the end. But overall, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. Facebook, that's a place. And if you want to go there, look at our book of faces. You can go to https://www.facebook.com/indiefilmreview. www.facebook.com/indiefilmreview.
You can also go to Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can go to Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at
the Indie Film Review at gmail.com.
We are on Podbean. We are on the beautiful, the lovely, the sexy, the scandalous Necropodicon Network.
That's right, baby.
Am I missing anything?
The Necropodicon Network. No, I should say it right. The Necropodicon Network. They are our podcast family, and they adopted us. We were both swaddled in little bonnets, and the stork that delivered us died, so they can't take us. I don't know what I'm saying. This is bad improv. And anywho, they're really great, and they do a lot of D&D podcasts. They do movies, including us, movie podcasts. And they have a lot of like comedy and really fun things on there. So I think there's like something for everyone on the network. It's always growing. It's always building. Get your stupid ass over there and watch them. How about that?
Thank you.
So I love all of you. Thank you so much for listening to the very end. You're out of control. You're insane. I appreciate you. And Dan, you have the final word.
Paul Walker. Did I do it? Did I do it right? Is that too soon?
You did a good job.
Hey, this is Paul.
This is Beth.
I'm Emily.
And we're from On the Shoulder. The show you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. That's Necropodicon.
Necropodicon!
If you're looking for some D&D adventures in a modern world with devils, devas, and
dicks.
There sure are.
And detoirs.
Find us on the Necropodicon Network. www.necropodicon.com.
Smell you later.